meeting is being recorded.
This meeting is being recorded, and you don't need to really see me. Hi, here I am. I'm going to mute my video. it's the last day of instruction. We have a lot to do today, but it's flexible. If you have some other ideas, please throw them my way. But we've got a lot prepared for you, and I certainly hope it's going to be a bang. You're going to enjoy it. So let's now first share the screen. Oops. And go to, which one was it? Oh my goodness, I can't remember now. Not that. Is it this one? Is this it? No, that's not it. Wrong one. Which one am I looking for? Where's the browser? Did I lose it? There it is. Okay, my apologies. Here it is now. So let's share the screen and go to the browser, which should be... Where did it go? Is this it? Yeah, here it is. Okay, share. There it is. How are we doing here? Okay, so we were up to only -5% as of Tuesday, but the last couple of days have hit us fairly hard, and now we're back down to -10%. But given all the volatility, dear students, look at the Beyond Meat. People are starting to realize, hey, also, there's not a whole lot of meat. So people are thinking, hey, maybe this fake meat or whatever you want to call it thing is going to take off. Well, I think once people realize that meat really isn't that good for them, you know, I stopped eating it and I feel so much better. I tell people, you know, I feel so much better when I don't eat meat. I feel great while I'm eating meat. You know, it tastes so good. But now that I can tell you it's a long story about digestion and the like, and I just feel so much better without eating meat. But, you know, you get used to the beans and the split peas and all the other legumes and beans that you replace with that edamame. And so that's not neither here nor there. But look at the banks. Oh, my goodness. And I saw a headline. Something went wrong at Wells Fargo yet again. So, my goodness. Look, it's lost 50% of its value in the short time. Well, the 16 weeks we've been together. Ugh. But you must, really, I must commend you folks for not panicking and hanging on. And again, I got to find more about this Brookfield Renewable Partners. I keep telling myself to do that. I'll see if I can find it. Waste management is even down, but Tesla, good old Tesla, they're going to get back up and running next week after having a temper tantrum. Okay, so congratulations, and we did pretty darn well as given the circumstances. So it's time for our end of semester joke. All right, here's our end. This is a very good joke. Now it loses some of its meaning now that people aren't actually meeting face to face. But there's this university with a class of over 500 students. 500 students. Can you imagine? Oh my goodness, and you are required to turn in this paper. That's your whole grade, the last day of class. If you don't have it in by noon, by 12 o'clock, noon, then you fail the class. So it's the last day of the semester, and on the professor's desk are hundreds of papers. And this guy runs in at 10 minutes after noon and says, "Here's my paper. I'm sorry. My car had a baby. My sister needed a new transmission. There was traffic." And the professor looks at him and says, "Young man, I cannot accept your paper. It's after 12 o'clock. And the student looks at him and says, "But yeah, but do you know who I am?" And the professor says, "I don't care if you're the son of the president of the college. I cannot accept your paper." And the student looks at him and says, "But do you know who I am?" And the professor says, "Young man, there are over 500 students in this class. I have no idea who you are." The student says, "Good." He runs over to where the papers are, puts his in the middle, throws them up in the air, and runs out. Pretty cool, huh? So remember that, dear students. Remember that. All right, so today, let us turn our attention to the website here. Here's the class website, I think. What's going on? Here's the class website. Here it is. And so I'm going to go to the class website. The final exam will actually start tomorrow, dear students. You have until next Thursday. Contact me if you have any questions. Tonight we're going to go through the pre-final worksheet, which is very similar to the calculations on the exam. Here are the questions on the chapters after exam number 4, in other words, last 2 weeks, options and futures, buying buying on margin, selling short, and then different account types, real estate, gold, cryptocurrencies, starting a business, which we'll do today. So here are all the questions on the exam on those pieces of those parts of the class. There will be no calculations from options, buying on margins, shorting, real estate. None of the worksheets in those last few chapters will have calculations on the exam, but there will be questions about those chapters, and here they are. They're right here for you to peruse on your own, so you know what to study, right? And then there's the worksheet, which we'll do tonight in a recorded session. Yeah, I'm recording the session. Yes, I am recording the session, right? I did hit the record button. Yes, okay. I got to remember myself. I did hit the record button. So, what am I saying? What was I saying? Those pangs of grief when you think you forgot to hit the record button. So contact me. Come tonight, and we'll do the recorded worksheet. But of course, it'll be recorded, so you can check it out anytime. All right, cool. So now we're going to slide all the way down. Look at all this material. It will always be here, dear students. Assuming I'm still alive, wonderprofessor.com will still be up and running. It's about, $130 bucks a year. $11 a month to keep this thing going. And so we're going to do starting a business. And here are some of the links that we'll talk about in the presentation. Now, before we do that, real quickly, let's go back up to the announcements. And here they all also are. The questions on the final, the pre-final exam answer key. And then, oh, by the way, I said week 5. It's week 15. And then here, please, please, please evaluate me. I learn a lot from these evaluations. So please go to that last module in Canvas and do an evaluation of yours truly. And if you really liked what you saw, if you learned what you believe, you learned a lot, and this class will actually help you in this scary, absurd, bizarre, joyful, beautiful, crazy life adventure that we call life, please consider doing a review on Rate My Professor. And they're over here. They're also on the evaluation sheet, but Rate My Professor. You can see what other people say about me. I work hard to earn these comments, and so check it out. I hope you use Rate My Professor, by the way. It's actually a pretty good resource. You have to take it all with a grain of salt sometimes, because sometimes the student's just angry because they didn't do well, and they blame it on the instructor. All right, I'm putting everything down here. Okay, so starting a business. Folks, the ultimate investment, I mean, if you really do want to become extremely wealthy, I'm not just talking about building a sizable nest egg and in your 401k and your Roth IRA, the stuff we've been talking about. I mean, if you want to be a gazillionaire, what's the way to do it? The way to do it is to start a business, right? But it's also very, very risky, dear students. It's not for everyone. So many people will start a business without any experience whatsoever. You're going to want to take this one class. I don't know if we still teach it that much anymore, but 145, Business 145. It's basically, it's just a real quick, it's one unit just to get people up and running so that they know what to do with regards to their reporting requirements, their accounting, their financial management for small business requirements. But in the class, we look at this one case study where a woman loved flowers all year, all the years of her life, and she dreamed of having a flower shop. Well, she never worked in one. She never actually worked in a flower shop. So she, you know, spends, and this was a long time ago, this was, you know, 30 years ago, she spends much of her life savings starting up a flower shop, and it turns out she's allergic to them. She can't be around them all day long and work with them because she starts, you know, breaking out in hives and everything. I mean, talk about being kicked in the teeth. She never ran a shop. She never worked in a shop. So that's what we tell people. Make sure you learn about the business before you get started. Because the most profitable, slide number two, the most profitable investment anyone can make is starting a business. But it's also one of the riskiest investments anyone can make. You've heard the statistics. 50% of businesses fail in the first year. 80% of businesses fail in the first 5 years. 100% of businesses fail in the first 10,000. You know, don't listen to these numbers, folks. The truth is, no one knows the failure rate of small businesses. Because no one, not even the IRS, knows how many small businesses there are. And another truth is that many small business owners often are going to fail two or three times or more until they succeed. It's in the genes. It seems to be. You just talk to these people and they say, well, there's no way I was ever going to work for somebody else. I knew I always wanted to have a business. And believe it or not, it turns out that it's, we don't know if it's genetic or cultural or whatever, but if you talk to small business owners, almost to a T, not all of them, but almost all of them have other people in their family. You know, maybe their uncle, maybe their parents, maybe their brothers or something, cousins, sisters, who are also business owners. So it's uncanny. It's just uncanny how that works. And that doesn't mean if you don't have anybody in your family, you can't start a business. I mean, that's just not true. You can, but I recommend you do your, you know, work in the industry first. Don't just start a bicycle shop without being a bicycle mechanic and working in a bicycle manager in a bicycle shop. You know, learn the business first. However, if you are so inclined, dear students, there are tremendous resources out there. These are entities that want you to succeed. They know, we know, that the backbone of our economy is not the large companies, even though they keep getting larger and larger and more powerful. It's the small business that employs most of the people in the country, that does most of the work. So SCORE, the Service Corps of Retired Executives, this is a great group. They're going to try to scare you. They're going to say, who do you think you are? You're not going to be. You get out of here right now. And then the people who are, you know, not really sure, they leave. And so now, then the folks say, okay, are we ready? Let's get started. And they're a great group. Yeah, definitely. The Kiva is a worldwide peer-to-peer lending organization. So it's a way to raise some funds. And then Acción San Diego. Now, I haven't gone to any of their things in a long, long time. It used to be local, but now I think they're based out of L.A. Don't go to accionsandiego.com because that's a different group. It's accionsandiego.org. And then the Small Business Development Center. I haven't been to, about a year and a half now. I just haven't had, I don't know, I'm getting old, I guess. I can't do everything I used to do. But this group at our National City campus is funded by the federal government, but administered locally. And there are various small business development centers. Ours is awesome. There's one in North County also. That's also very awesome. But there are many seminars, many of which are free. And I used to go to them just because I had the time. But now I'll probably go to them more often now that I'll be not teaching. But you get to be around people who are also infected with the bug of wanting to start a business. And just tremendous. Don't discount franchises. Some people will poo-poo franchises. But there's a woman who, at the Small Business Development Center, every once in a while, will do a seminar on franchises. And franchises, you know, some of them are not so great, some of them are great, you know, and there's a huge amount of opportunity there. And then don't forget Southwestern. Business 120, 145. There are tremendous resources available to small business owners. Don't go alone. So I know this is not the best forum for that, but if raise your hand or scream out and holler, is anybody actually interested in starting a business in this class? I know a couple of you had them. I know.
Can I give you guys feedback about Axion?
Yes, do. Because I haven't been. Tell me about Axion.
Axion user has your last, like, pretty much the last resort, like, when you have no resort. Because Axion's rate, when you borrow money from them, it's practically very expensive. It's twice more than an actual conventional bank. Because the underwriting guidelines in Axion is so lenient that pretty much they are. I'll put it this way, all bad credit business owner or new business goals, they're pretty much beyond high risk. So when they underwrite, they pretty much will charge you heavy upfront fees, and also the rate, it's, I think one of my clients got charged like 19%.
So like, like credit cards, basically like credit cards, yeah.
Yeah, so but avoid them at all costs pretty much.
Are they still active here in San Diego with their seminars and they're still active though?
Yeah. But okay. If it's seminar, I would suggest to go Score. It's a better deal than Axion.
Oh, I love Score. Love Score. Yes.
They help me out so much.
All right. Thank you. Because, I haven't been, I have not been involved as much anymore. I hope they get more involved because I can help them. You know, I can volunteer and talk about finance for them.
Yeah. Axion changed a lot. They're more focused on the lending side.
So okay. Because that's what
it gets greedy.
I noticed that they went through a change a few years ago. I wasn't involved, but I noticed that the website got all kablooied, and it seemed like it went to Los Angeles, and so I haven't been involved. I got to get involved again. Anyway, so there you are, folks. Start a business, become the next Bill Gates, next Steve Jobs, next Elon Musk, and Mark Zuckerberg, and become multi-gazillionaires. But for every one Google, there's dozens of Lycos and Alta Vista and Dogpile and, well, Yahoo got, but they're still around, but they're not a search engine anymore. So it's a very, very competitive world, but for some people, it's the only world they would ever be involved with. Others, no. And you'll hear people like this guy, Robert Kawasaki, and a few others, and they'll say, oh, you're not anything unless you're an entrepreneur. Well, that's borscht. Folks, that is absolutely BS. He tries to make out people who work for a living within an organization. He tries to make them out as losers. Well, that's great, but who's going to administer the injections? Who's going to deliver the milk and the groceries? Who's going to clean up the sewer system? Who's going to make sure the sewer system's working? I mean, it's firefighters. You know, it's so BS to say that if you're not a business owner, you're nothing. It just really riles me. We love folks like Elon Musk, but they're few and far between. There's not too many people like him and women. We need more women in the industry. So think about it. Okay, so that's enough of that. All right, Okay, let's stop that. Now, very quickly, dear students, where did it go? Oh, here it is. We're going to stop the share here and then go through a couple of the, Isaac's here. Just a few, just real quick. And then Ian Viri is here. Of the, Lisa Boyer is here. Good morning. I'm sorry, folks. I just like to keep on top of who's showed up and who hasn't. We're going to go through some of my favorite slides of Baffle the Broker. Because in the face-to-face class, the last day of class, what we do, hello, come on, sweetheart, there it goes. What we do is we, 2 or 3 weeks before, we would have given out all these anonymous pieces of paper. And the students can basically ask me any question whatsoever about finance, investments, world, life. You know, why is there air? Why is the sky blue? Where do babies come from? If you're so smart, how come you're not rich? I mean, any question whatsoever, and we make it into a presentation. The problem is, it's not going to work that well online, because it's I give silly, some of the questions are silly, some of the answers, a lot of the answers are silly. So I got rid of all the silly questions and just came up with real questions, which are some of the best questions. And there's only 10 slides, so bear with me. Okay, you have a question, I have an answer. It might not always be right, especially when it's a silly question. Like, why is the sky blue? Because the sky is sad, right? Of course. But it didn't cost you anything. Where do babies come from? New Jersey, of course. Now, getting into the industry. Can I become a stockbroker without going to university? Any advice concerning this topic? Yes, yes, yes. You do not need a four-year degree. Eventually, whoever you work for is going to want you to get a four-year degree, plus you're going to want to get it. But if you can produce, they will help you get the four-year degree, right? The dirty little secret in our world is that there is no guarantee that someone coming from a prestigious university will do well as a financial representative, right? Someone with a community college degree or certificate in financial services might surpass a whole room full of graduates from the Ivy League universities. I have my predictors. Are you a positive, optimistic person with a sunny disposition? Do you like to socialize? The word we use is network, right? Do you enjoy meeting new people? Networking. Do you want to help them succeed? Are you not afraid to ask someone if they need your help? And if they say no, are you still willing to go to the next person and ask the same question and then go on to ask 27 more people, right? In short, are you a go-getter who refuses to give up? Will you never give up? And if you can answer yes to all or most of these questions, especially the part about never giving up, sunny disposition, love to work with new people, learn, meet new people, I guarantee you will do well in the industry. Now, you might bounce around from one position to another until you find your niche, but talk to a counselor or me about our financial services program. Ooh, and did I mention that the salaries in the industry are higher than the national averages? Think about it. The industry is huge, folks. You don't have to be in the retail part of it. There's plenty of spots for you to plug in insurance, banking, brokerage firms, real estate. The real estate world is huge. So you'll find your way. Here come the roofers. So the banging and the big noises you hear, they're working on the roof. So my apologies. Okay, how do you start investing when you only have $50 a month? Come on, who wants that, right? Most of us working grunts with 50 or 100 hours a month will focus on mutual funds. It's just so much easier than purchasing individual stocks. However, if you're motivated and patient, you can build a stock portfolio over time. What you do is put $50 into your savings account or your brokerage account every month. And then when you have about $500 or $600, you can buy one company, right? But you want to have 10, eventually 10 to 20 companies. So repeat this process for the long term, doing all the work we've done in this class and some of what we're going to do in a few moments. How do I get rich? I love it. Well, you know, first of all, you have to define what rich is, right? But still, dear student, there are many avenues to building substantial wealth, especially when you are young. Who wants to give? Now, see, this is where it's kind of hard in the online class. But who wants to give our intrepid nascent investors some good long-term oriented prudent advice? Here is my advice. Start contributing $50 or $100, whatever you can afford, into a long-term oriented global stock growth and income mutual fund, preferably inside a Roth IRA or your 401k or a regular account. Every year, increase your contributions $10 or more. As your investments grow, diversify your choices. As you approach a retirement, begin to slide down the risk versus reward, risk versus return spectrum. You know, balance funds, bond funds. And if the world does not end, you're going to be pulling $3,000 or $4,000 out of your account per month for the rest of your life. Now, we saw this, right? We saw this, dear students. We saw how some mutual funds have done very well over the long term. But as we also saw, there are other choices. Real estate is one good choice. Starting a business, the others, maybe you get involved in cars or Beanie Babies or whatever, but don't bet the farm. And if that sounds too complicated for you, what about this? In the Business 121 Financial Planning and Money Management class, when I go to the high schools, and when I go to high schools, we discuss goal setting. Have you taken Business 121? Remember goal setting? The students have already had some experience writing goals. So we then show them this slide. Let my cell phone make me rich. Because you all have a cell phone, right? I know you do. You're young. You got to have a cell phone. You spend $50, $100 a month on your cell phone. So for every dime over the next 30, 40, 50 years, you pay your cell phone company, also put it into your Roth IRA. Learn about the prudent long-term oriented investments that should do well over time. Contact me anytime. I love to talk about this stuff. As I said, I'm going to be very sad that I'm not teaching. I might get another class next spring. I probably won't. We'll see. So I can talk about this a lot longer than any reasonable person would ever want to listen. Priority is high, urgent, importante, got to do it. Can you do this? If you do this, folks, because the folks at AT&T and Verizon and T-Mobile, Sprint, they've taken Business 121 and Business 123. They understand about a stream of income, and you're their stream of income. So every dime that you pay your AT&T, your Verizon, pay yourself. And I guarantee that if the world doesn't end... and you invest prudently, wisely, with an eye toward long-term growth and income, you should do well. Okay, now here's a question that I received. Actually, I've received it in a couple different versions. It's usually real estate, but sometimes it's gold. And in the face-to-face class, I know I wish you'd all turn on your microphones and yell it out when you ever see something red. But you won't, but that's okay. I'll yell it out. Do you honestly think stocks give a better return on investment than real estate? What about the fact that stocks are not tangible and real estate is? Or gold, you could say, is if gold is real and stocks are not tangible. How do you feel about that? Well, this is a great question because, as you'll see, we're so inculcated, which is a word I like to use, which means we're so immersed in our economy that it's all around us and we don't even notice it. So let's read together. You know my friend, Harry Verdurci, he was having the same conversation with his wife. They were both worried that stocks really did not represent anything that was real. He and his wife told themselves that they would sleep on it and then discuss it in the morning. The next morning, Harry arose early and washed his hair with anybody got their mic on?
Head and Shoulders.
Head and Shoulders shampoo made by
Procter & Gamble.
And washed his body with
Dove.
Soap in a shower using water that was heated by natural gas supplied by
Sempra Energy.
That's SDG&E. He then shaved using a razor. He put on his clothes that he bought from
The Gap
and
JCPenney,
and then had a bowl of
Cheerios
from
General Mills.
He then remembered he needed to stop for gas on his way to work, so Harry got in his
Ford Focus
and stopped at the
Chevron
station for gas. He then received a call on his new
iPhone,
serviced by
AT&T,
that he had received via
UPS
just yesterday. Harry was very proud of his new iPhone. His boss wanted him to stop at
$5
and buy coffee for the visiting engineers who had arrived this morning on a
Southwest Airlines
jet made by
Boeing
and who were staying at the
Marriott Hotel.
When he got to work, Harry fired up his
HP
laptop and connected to the internet via his company's
Cisco
router with service from
Time Warner
and sent his wife a message that he agreed with her and that they should stop investing in stocks and put everything into real estate because stocks were so intangible. When his wife received the email on her
iPad Air, Earth, Wind, and Fire,
she was very pleased. Does this bring it home, folks? You know, All you got to do is walk around and look at all the different companies that are supplying the goods and services that we take for granted, and you can invest in them. I'm not saying all of them are great investments, but there they are. Both stocks and real estate have been good investments for prudent, patient, long-term, and oriented investors. What I hope I impressed upon you is that no investment is perfect. Every investment has advantages and disadvantages. Stocks are volatile. You have to learn how to live with it emotionally. Real estate is a pain in the patootie. It's a pain in the rear. But it can be very, very profitable. Gold is a joke. I mean, it's if you believe the world's going to end, go ahead and invest in gold, but it ain't going to help you. But we understand now that if we have a long-term time horizon and the world doesn't end, and we invest in high-quality companies who are roots deep in the economy, we should do pretty darn well. Okay, if you go back to the very beginning of our class, a million years, it seems like it's such a long time ago after what all has happened. You remember this slide? It is a gloomy moment in history. Never has the future seemed so dark and incalculable. The United States is beset with racial, industrial, and commercial chaos, drifting we know not where of our troubles. No one can see the end. Remember when this was written, dear students? 1847? Yeah, someday the world's going to end. We know this to happen, but probably not for another billion years or so. Maybe sooner, who knows? But I'm going to give you a different perspective. It is a fortunate moment in history. Never has the future seemed so bright and promising, assuming we survived the COVID. The United States is the most racially diverse, industrially strong, and commercially prosperous nation in the history of the world. Of our continued success, no one can see the end. Now, who said this? Who wrote this? Me! Now, as I said, as I told you, I'm optimistic about the future. I'm sure we're going to beat this. The only question is how many people are going to not live to see the end. I hope I'm one of them, that I make it. But if I don't, I just know that your generation is going to do phenomenal things. I'm so excited about that. I might not be here to see it, which is such a bad deal. Here I am finally ready to relax and learn how to relax. Go to Mexico, sit in the sunshine, and now this comes along. So thank you all for a great semester. Don't be a stranger. Please contact me. You know how to get in touch with me, wonderprofessor.com. And I'm gonna miss you all, but I'm here for you anytime. Cool. Okay, and that's that for that. That's Baffle the Broker. And sometimes people ask me really silly questions, and so I give silly answers, and I love it immensely. Okay, so let's get rid of that. Okay, so stop the share. Oh, sharing is stopped because the screen is closed. All right, so Mr. Brown is here. Welcome. Thank you for showing up. Anybody else new? Harry Nicholas. Okay. All right, so now this is the fun part. Okay, so here, let's share the screen and go back to this guy right here, the browser. Okay, so what happened? Let me make sure. I'm looking at myself. I'm starting a business, Baffle the Broker. So I was ready for Value Line. Ready for Value Line. Okay, cool. Now, somebody, Janet, thank you, Janet, got me excited about showing up, getting the Value Line for Nike, and I also did it for 3M. All right. So now, in the when we discussed the Value Line, we said this is like a sip from the fire hose. There's just so much here, and as I told you, I never just buy a stock without consulting the Value Line. Of course, you also want to look at their website, look at the Edgar stuff, the financial statements and the like. And so let's take a quick look at those. In fact, somebody in the online class said, wouldn't it be great if Piano showed us the 10K? Well, yes and no. It's really great because it helps you go to sleep at night. But here's Nike's Yahoo, and typically when you look at the profile, you'll see their website. You'll see the website of the company. So I clicked on Nike's, well, that's pretty easy to figure out, Nike.com. And then when you get to their website, sometimes it's along the top, or in the case of Nike, it's at the very bottom. You go all the way to the bottom, and there'll be something that says investors. You see that? Maybe it's a little too small, especially if you're on your phone or something like that. But they'll see investor. You'll see something along the line that says investor relations, investors. And so you click on that, and then this one's a little tricky. You have to go here. Usually it'll show you. It'll say, okay, here's our reports, but you don't. It doesn't have that here. You have to click on this little down arrow. But then, remember the quarterly earnings reports and the annual reports? So here is the annual, the 10K that we talked about. You're going to want to read that. Now, this is in the much easier to read format. But every bona fide company that you look at, every big company, they're going to have this. But if you can't find it, it's very simple. Okay, let's click on it. Let's click on it, and you'll see that it's actually there's the shareholder letter. Make sure you read that. That's the it talks about the great stuff. And if there's bad news, they'll try to do your best. They'll do their best to talk about it. But then here is the PDF that's in a much better format than what you see on the. But it's pretty scary stuff. And people say, well, should I read the whole thing? I don't usually, because it goes on and on about stuff that is so. Especially when you get down to here. This stuff is important. The first few pages are usually very important. But then when it gets down, finally, this is all this important stuff. Read it. Competition. Make sure you read about the competition. Obviously, we talked about, never invest in a company without looking at their competitors. But where does it get executive officers? Who's in charge? Here, the risk. Once it starts talking about the risk, some of these just get ridiculous. If it's Tuesday and there's a tsunami earthquake and a meteorite hits our factory, and so this stuff is good if you have insomnia at night. Start reading this. But you're going to want to go through this whole thing, and then eventually you're going to get down to the numbers. Eventually you're going to get down to the numbers, because they have to file. Look at all this. This is just crazy. Okay. Mine safety disclosures. It's a Nike. They're not miners. But here, you start getting into the numbers, and then here's the performance. Look, Nike has done very, very, very well compared to the S&P 500. Selected financial data. So this is here we finally get into a combination of the income statement and then and the balance sheet. So it's good stuff. And of course, you're going to want to look at the financial statements, and they're also in here somewhere. So you do definitely want to go through this puppy. Here's a real abbreviated income statement. And I know it's going to be tiresome and boring, and you're going to say, oh, this is ridiculous. Why should I do this? But do familiarize yourself, even though, look, how many pages are we so far? It's already 100 pages. Are you going to read the whole darn thing? I don't think so. I mean, I don't. And we're not even halfway through yet. Look, how many pages at the end? By the time, 100, no, it's only 100 pages. Okay, so good. So that's the 10K. Now, let's take a look back at the, here it is. Here at the value line. In chapter 6, and all the problems how are we doing for time? Okay, pretty good. Excuse me. We always gave you what the dividends are going to be, what the earnings growth rate was going to be, what we believed the stock price was going to be in 3 to 5 years, what the PE ratio was over the last 5 years. And then in the bonus assignment, we asked you to come up with it. And in the commentary, we said, look, folks, remember, you are just, blowing smoke here. You're just putting your finger up in the air and seeing which way the wind is blowing. Because you can be pretty much guaranteed that you ain't going to get it right over the next 3 or 4 years, and you can also feel comfortable that most everybody else isn't going to get it right. But if you're going to trust anybody, I trust Valueline, knowing full well that they're not going to get it right, but they're actually pretty darn good at what they do. So what we see are the dividends over, here's my mouse. We see the sales per share, the cash flow per share, the earnings per share, right? All the stuff that we gave you when we asked you to do the problems. But here, you got it here. So you can go back in time and take a look at what's going on with Nike. Now, here's the last recession. We're going to see the next recession, you know, 6 months from now, a year from now, we're going to see another gray area. And we're going to see that it's going to be pretty volatile. But this is how you find out what the percentage rate on the growth of the dividends is. Here's the dividends. And they say, look, by 2020 today, they expect it to be 93 cents. Well, actually, if we go back to Yahoo for Nike, it turns out that they have increased their dividend a little bit. They're probably going to cut it, or maybe not cut it, but look, they're up to 98 cents for the dividends. So what I used is this. I'm going to show you. I used this same spreadsheet. Now, you could do it manually. We learned how to do it manually, but you know, after a while, you get tired of that. So you remember the Pretzels Unlimited discounted cash flow worksheet? Remember that problem we did where we put in the $2 for this year, $2 for 20 cents, $2.30, $2.30, and then added the $27 proceeds from the stock? That was the make. If you don't know how to do these, you got another week to learn, because you got to learn how to do these. You must learn how to do these, okay? So there they are on the class website. Play with them. So here's the one I created for Nike. Okay, let's go back to present value. I typed in the dividends from... Oh, don't worry, Janet. We also did 3M, so don't worry. Janet asked for 3M. Okay, I typed in the dividends from 2014 up to 2020, and then right here, here's the formula. And in the bonus assignment, we discuss how we calculate this. You take the next year minus the previous year, and then divide it by the previous year. So that's why you see, I don't know if you can see this, but it's C17 minus C16. So 54 cents minus 47 cents. And then you divide it by 47 cents, the previous year. And you get almost a 15% growth rate in their dividends from 2014 to 15. And then the same thing happened. Look at those dividend growth rates. Unbelievable. And then at the very end, after we've done all those years, now we can't do the next year because we could estimate, but let's not. So then at the very end, what we do is we take the average of those growth rates, and it turns out that Nike has been growing their dividend at 13%, which is, that's just unbelievable. I don't know. Maybe it will continue. I don't know. People are nuts over tennis shoes. So if we, whoops, come on, I want to make this bigger. Get out of my way. I'll make this a little bigger. Excuse me. So remember the constant perpetual growth model? Annual dividends times 1 plus the dividend growth rate divided by a required rate of return minus dividend growth rate. Well, let's say I'm very happy with 10%. If we take 98 cents times $1.13, I'm sorry, not $1.13, times 1 plus 13%, which is what they've been growing them at. So 1 plus 13%, remember that formula? Annual dividends times 1 plus 13%, 1.13, divided by 10%, our required rate of return, minus 13%. Well, the model just gets destroyed, because what you have is you have a division by a negative number. And it says that Nike should be worth, that doesn't make any sense. What we really should do is change this 10% to say 15%. But that's just, in my humble opinion, it just doesn't make any sense. But if we did that, if we changed that to 15%, Then it says that Nike should be worth about $55. Well, Mike Nike's worth $86. So if we change it to 14%, then it says it should be worth $110. Either way, this model obviously just is just it's just it doesn't work. It doesn't work when you're looking at a company that's been raising their dividend at this torrid pace. It just, if Nike continue to do that, oh my goodness, it should be worth a ton of money. But I don't know that it will. More realistically is my favorite model, the discounted cash flow example. And if I'm going too fast, please scream and holler. But you guys, you shouldn't, you know, this should, you should feel very comfortable seeing these problems, because you should have done them a whole bunch of times. So what I did is I put in 98 cents, which is the current dividend. And then over the next 3-4 years, I just said, look, let's assume that Nike doesn't raise their dividend during this turmoil. Let's just assume that. They might. We don't know. They might cut it. But let's assume that they're going to continue to pay 98 cents a year. And then let's assume that the stock price is $100 in 2023. Now, where did we get that? If we go back to the... No, I'm going to get rid of this guy. Get rid of that guy. Whoops, that's not what I wanted to do. Are we still sharing the screen? You still see the screen, folks? Here it is. Okay, I want to make sure. I'm going to move these two together. So if we go back to the... Everyone's still seeing the screen, right?
There's nothing on our screen.
Oh, this, okay, let's share. Okay, I stopped the share. My apologies. I accidentally stopped the share. Okay, we're back sharing. Okay, that's what I was afraid of. My apologies. I accidentally hit stop share. Okay, so let's get rid of, I'm going to get rid of this guy just to have fewer things on the screen. Get rid of this guy. And so here's the, by the way, did I tell you how to type? Just type it. If you can't find their 10K, just type Nike Edgar 10K. Edgar, I forget what it stands for, but that's the Securities and Exchange Commission system called Edgar. That's where they upload their 10Ks. And bingo, there it is. There's the document that they, this is the even scarier form than on their website. This is the document they uploaded to the Securities and Exchange Commission's system for turning in all these documents. So all you got to do in Google or any whichever search engine you like is 3M Edgar 10K, and you'll get your company Securities and Exchange Commission filings. All right, so let's close that. So now, my apologies. So here we're back again. Now, this should look familiar. The stock price is about $86. We haven't looked at what it was today. What is it today? It's $85, so it hasn't changed much. So I said, okay, 98 cents. They're paying 98 cents. Let's assume that they continue to pay 98 cents over the next 4 years. They'll probably raise their dividend after a year or so. Hopefully we're going to beat this virus sooner than later. They might cut their dividend, but let's just assume they keep the dividend. Now, where do we get the estimated proceeds from the sale of stock? Where do we get what we believe the stock is going to be worth? We go to the value line, and look, they tell you right over here. They say, we think, and they even tell you over here too, the stock should be between about 110 and 130 by 2023. So let's err on the side of caution and say it's worth $100, right? Let's say it's going to be worth $100. Well, with a 10% required rate of return, and we don't have to use the tables because the spreadsheet calculates it for us, we think if we get those four dividends of 98 cents and plus the stock is worth $100, we think the stock is worth $78. It's selling for $86. So, you know, maybe we're not going to get a 10% rate of return. If we put in 9%, then the stock looks a little bit more attractive. If we put in 8%, the stock even looks better. But you see, expecting a 10% rate of return from here, in my humble opinion, is a bit of a mistake. I don't think stocks are going to return. Doesn't mean I'm right. Doesn't mean I'm wrong. Let's say we go to the high end. Let's say we go to the say $125, which is, you know, at the higher end of what they believe the stock's going to be worth. If we change it to $125, then the model at 10% is saying they believe the stock is worth $97. So you have to remember that we're just throwing numbers out in the middle in the air. And we're saying, look, if Value Line is right and we get $120, $125 a share, then Nike looks like a pretty darn good buy from here. If not, if we only get, say, $90 a share, well, it doesn't look too good. And here's the cool part. Remember we talked about internal rate of return. If you don't worry about it. But if you want to, we can, I don't think we'll have time to, we might have time today. Go back and look at internal rate of return, because this spreadsheet will do it for you. It calculates the internal rate of return. We have to, that's on the next page. We have to come up with $86 to buy the share. Oh, it should say 86. That's not what I wanted. Here, it should be 86, not 56. Okay, and then we're going to get 98 cents plus $90 or maybe $100, $110. And if we only got 90, if let's say we'd be really conservative and Nike doesn't hardly do anything overnight, it's probably going to bounce around a lot, but we're only getting 2.26%. But if we just increase our belief of what Nike's going to be worth, then it turns out $100 we're getting almost 5%, which in this day and age, given that bonds are paying less than 1%, the 10-year is less than 1%, then, you know, it's not too bad. But I hope what you're coming away from is that we're just simply making predictions that we know it's not going to be what we think it's going to be. We know it's probably going to be something completely different. Nike could explode on the upside if this thing... If we're able to beat this darn virus, you know, I think they're going to do really, really well. But that doesn't mean I'm right. Any questions? Any thoughts? And as we said in chapter 6, after we've done all this, after we looked at all the numbers, after we've done all the financial ratio analysis, compared them to their competitors, read everything we could about them, read the 10-K, read the shareholders report. Throw it all away and ask yourself, would you really want to own Nike? Or as Mr. Peter Lynch does, he holds up his all his research in his hand and gives himself the 60-second story about why I would want to own or not own Nike. They're the premier tennis, shoe, sports, athletic, whatever you want to call them. People live and die by these things. Line up around. They don't do that anymore. Or they, I don't know. Do they still line up around the block to buy the latest Tiger Jordan shoes? I don't know. Maybe they do. Questions, thoughts, ideas, comments? Yeah. Nothing. Okay. So I don't know if I'm boring you. I apologize. But I think this is pretty cool. I like this immensely. Now let's take a look at Janet's favorite stock here, and that's 3M. So here, 3M company. Oh yeah, by the way, I forgot to show you. Don't do any. Here's the 30-second, 90-second story from Value Line. So remember the annual rates, we talked about those. Somebody asked about insider trading. They don't show insider trading, but they show institutional trading. They show you how many institutions own them. But here's Value Line's 60, 90-second discussion. Nike stock has been on an upward trajectory since announcing February results. The reported numbers for the fiscal third quarter bested reduced expectations. Leadership struck an upbeat tone, particularly with regard to China bouncing back sooner than most had anticipated. Sales remain... Oh, yeah, they're making a big push to go online. Digital sales. especially valuable in the coming weeks. Europe, Middle East, Africa all rose. Latin America, 8%. And then North America, interesting, it was only 4%. Management believes it has learned from the China situation, now as a playbook. We're obviously down. China sales were down. Leadership, she sees no reason this will not occur in the rest of the markets. It's just how long it will last. We are leaning toward the consensus expectations for the balance of fiscal 2020. The company has not offered. We should be at the top of a game. We think sales will come in below the $40 billion mark. And earnings will only, $40 billion on shoes, will only climb to around $2.60. We think this high quality, timely selection has room to run over the coming 6 to 12 months, but longer term accounts should look elsewhere. So they're not too excited about the long. I am. I think it's pretty darn good. You can buy something at $86 today, $85 today, and in 3 years, it'd be worth $120, $130. I'd be very happy with that. I'm very happy with that. And notice their timeliness. Whenever they have a timeliness of one, that's usually a pretty darn good sign. I told you about the study that showed you every time if you bought the stock when it became a timeliness of one and sold it when it lost that timeliness, then you've done pretty well. But again, it's no guarantee. Okay, so now let's take a little bit of time now and take a look at 3M. 3M, what are they? Here's their 90-second discussion of 3M. As we said, they've had a little bit of rough time the last couple of years with the stock drifting down. But if you look at let's go to Yahoo and type in 3M. 132. And so they're thinking this was $137 when this was done on April 10th. So it's not bounced back as much as some of the other stocks, but they're thinking anywhere between $200 to $245 from 2023 to 2025. And here again, there's the dividends. They've been growing smartly. So we go back to the spreadsheet. I typed in the dividend. The growth rate is 9%. Again, it's just unbelievable, right? I guess get rid of that negative. Get rid of that. And so if we assume that they're going to continue to do basically 10%, or let's just say 8%, even though they've been doing more than 9%, let's just say 8%. Let's say they grow their dividends at 8%. Their current dividend is $5.88 times 1.08 divided by our required rate of return of, say, 10% minus the 8% growth rate. And the constant perpetual growth model says the stock should be worth $300. And if we changed it to 9.6%, it would be worth even more than that. So the constant perpetual growth model is saying, yeah, 3M is a great deal. So let's now do what we think is going to happen with their cash flows. The current dividend is $5.88. Does it still say that here? Where is the dividends here? Yeah, they're saying it's $5. They're saying it's $6.18. But let's go back to Yahoo. $5.88. So it's by the way, another way to do the. I don't always show you all these things, and then I think I should have showed them that. Maybe I shouldn't. It's to go look at the historical data. Another way to find the dividend growth rate, especially if you like spreadsheets, is to go to historical data, and they're going to give you data for the. Let's show everything. Let's show the max or 5 years. Apply. They're going to show you the prices, but you can also say, look, Yahoo. Just give me the dividends. Just give me the dividends. And then you can see the dividend growth rate. And you can download this as a spreadsheet. And I hit the download button. I'm not actually going to do it or not. Oh, yeah, it's trying to do it. It's trying to download it. You could download it into your spreadsheet and then compute the dividend growth rate quarterly, because these are all the quarterly dividends. Cool? I think that's very cool. I don't usually show the students that because it just confuses them, but I try not to confuse you, but at the same time, I want to give you good stuff. So let's go back to the the spreadsheet that we created. So I said, look, let's say their dividends, again, this is just pulling numbers out of thin air. Let's say they increase it to $6.10 next year, and then $6.20 the year after that, and then $6.30 plus, let's go to the lower end of what Value Line is expecting. They're saying anywhere from 200, what did they say, 200 to 230? 200 to 245. Let's just say $180. Let's think the stock is going to be worth $180. Then at our 10% required rate of return, our model is saying that we think the stock is worth $155. Yeah. And it's selling for $136, right? Let's go to the internal rate of return calculation. And the internal rate of return calculation says, look, if we have to pay $136 for this stock today, again, it should be $136, right? And then we think the dividends are going to be $5.88, the dividends $6.10, $6.20, and then $6.30 plus $180. The internal rate of return calculation says, you know what? You're going to get over 11% if this actually happens. So you see how we can use this spreadsheet, because we don't want to calculate internal rate of return. It's a pain in the patootie. It's a real pain. That's why we have spreadsheets. They do it for us. Of course, if you go to a graduate, higher, upper-level finance class, they're going to make you do it manually because some of them professors are very sick, masochistic people. Questions, thoughts, ideas? Then, of course, we're not doing the financial ratio analysis. You know how to do that. That's pretty straightforward. Make your spreadsheet or use your calculator. Find all those financial ratios. Look at 3M versus their competitors. Now, 3M's they have several different competitors. They don't really have any one company that's like Home Depot and Lowe's, you know, they do the exact same thing. Some of the things that 3M does, nobody else does. So, you know, that's a competitive advantage. But it takes a tremendous amount of resources to get to where 3M has gotten to, and so they're taking advantage of that. Any questions, any thoughts, any ideas? Let's see what they say about. They like 3M. We think the current price tag represents a good entry point. Yeah, well done, Janet. For investors with a long-term investment horizon. Yes, the company likely has some issues to contend with. However, it remains a premier player in just about every arena it operates. The debt level is higher than in the past, but high, healthy cash flow should allow management to continue to reshape the portfolio and remain shareholder friendly. Cool. Excited. And then here's this discussion about the business. And I wish they would have, as we showed you, MarketWatch still has that, where they show you their competitors. They show you who we will look against the competitors. But when you see, this is three, they do, but they don't have it this here. When you go to the library and you check out, you can't check it out of the, you can't leave with the library, but it's in the resource section. And you go to the place where 3M is in this huge booklet. There's a bunch of booklets, and sometimes they separate them and sometimes they put them in a huge three-ring binder. The companies that are right next to it will be their competitors. All the beverage companies will be in one spot, and all the aerospace companies will be in another spot, and the industrials will be. So that's how Value Line shows you their competitors. You just turn the page or look at the other page next to it, and you'll see who their competitors are. So they don't put it on here. But that's, we're not going to the library, which is I hope the library's open up sometime. But still, dividend yield of 4 points. Let's see what the dividend yield is today. What did I do with Nike? Here it is. Dividend yield, oops, go back to the summary. Yeah, 4.3%, man. Now probably they're coming from a recession. We're probably not going to raise their dividends as fast as they've done in the past. They might have to cut the dividend, but a company like 3M that's been, I mean, look at that dividend growth rate. Just, just 2011, it was $2.20. Now it's almost $6, or they think it's going to be $6.18. But it's $5.88 as of right now. And they think by 2025 or so, it'll be $7.50. Sales per share, cash flow per share. And again, we're just throwing out numbers. And then once we've done all this, we ask ourselves, would we want to be a partner with this company? Would we want this to be a part owner of this company? Would we want to marry our finances? You know, it's like getting married. It's not when you start a business, that's really getting married, because it's till death do you part. But when you do this, then next 6 months from now, do this all again, right? Do it again. And then a year from now, do it again. And keep looking at 3M over and over and over again, and looking at Nike over and over and over again, and seeing if a competitor is catching up to them, or if there's another stock that's more advantageous. So I hope I've showed you, this is what I do. It's worked pretty well whenever I've used companies that have their roots deep in the economy, like Nike, like 3M, and whenever I tried companies that were the hot new, they're mostly biotech companies, mostly based here in San Diego, it always started out well, but then something came along, often without any kind of it wasn't the company's fault why they went down into the porcelain oasis. It was something completely different. And boom, got killed. Okay, so any questions, any thoughts? Let's stop the share for a moment here. And let's see if we got any questions. Oh, there's Tiffany. Hello, Tiffany. Any questions, any thoughts? Nice. Janet says 3M. Okay, so now I have on my agenda here, I want to remind everybody about tonight's session for the, there won't be any banging tonight because they usually stop by about 3 or 4 o'clock. The pre-final worksheet we'll do tonight. Let's quickly go take a look at it again, just to remind people of the pre-final worksheet is on the website, all the way at the top here under pre-final worksheet, under the announcements. Make sure you've been looking through the announcements. And I want to also remind everybody about the, let's see if I go there and not see if the system destroys student evaluation. See if we just, it's supposed to go to Canvas now. Last time I tried this on Tuesday, it almost died. Oh, here it is. It's working. And I, oh, it hasn't been unlocked yet. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I haven't unlocked the module. Okay, I got it. I'm glad I tried there, going there. Okay, I have to unlock the, I'm getting old. No, I'm not getting old. I am old. So I will unlock that module. My apologies. I didn't unlock the module. It was the last module, so I'll unlock that in just a moment. Okay. So now, if you'll indulge me, I would like to show you, where are we going? Okay. A couple of we went through this presentation very quickly several weeks ago, and I don't want to go through it now. What I do want to show you is how the spreadsheet itself that comes with this. So I'll flip through this. Okay, okay, and where's the spreadsheet? Okay, so calculating internal rate of return. All right, so I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. How does, let's look at the bottom line first. Internal rate of return. We're going to use this spreadsheet that I've created that I'll put up on the website. None of these calculations, none of this stuff is going to be on the exam, so don't worry. So let's go to the net. Start. Share the screen. Okay, come on. Where's the Excel? Where is the Excel spreadsheet? Okay, let me stop this again. I think my slides, things are starting to get a little hairy here. There's my spreadsheet. Okay, there's my spreadsheet. Oh, Excel's not responding. Excel. I don't know. I mean, I don't use Excel. It just crashed. Oh, there it is. It's back up and running. Okay, so now let's go back to Zoom. Come on, I think my computer's about ready to die here. Share the screen. Where's Excel? There it is. There it is. Okay, start. All right, so here, let's go. We talked about net present value versus present value. We're not going to do that right now. But here is the internal rate of return. We already did this. I just showed you this. This is in the spreadsheet. You purchase a stock for a certain amount of money, and then you get some dividends, and then you get the dividend and what the stock is worth in about 3 or 4 years. And the computer, it's a very straightforward formula. Internal rate of return, IRR, equals, I mean, not you've used the equal sign, IRR, and then the cash flows from B3 to B20, B7, and then your guess of what the rate of return is. So we guess 12%, and the computer comes back and says, no, actually, you're going to get 14.51% if this is what actually happens. Now, remember bonds? You pay $1,000. And you get some interest every year, and then at the end of 10 years, 20 years, you get your money back. So this is an 8% bond, a 10-year bond. We pay $1,000, and then we get $80 a year, actually $40 twice a year. And then at the end of the 10 years, we get our interest and our $1,000 back. But what if we only paid $800 for that? It was a discount bond. Well, remember, we learned how to do the yield to maturity approximation, which is, you plug in a bunch of things and see what you get. And we won't do that now because you're going to do that on the exam. But here's the internal rate of return calculation, which is more precise. So even though our yield to maturity approximation gave us 11.11%, the internal rate of return, which is a more precise calculation, tells us, actually you're getting 11.46. So, but that's a real pain in the patootie to try to do manually. That's why we have spreadsheets. On the Series 7, they're going to ask you to do this. They're not going to ask you to do that. Okay? And what happens if we have to pay $1,200 for it? It's a premium bond. Then our yield to maturity calculation says we're going to get 5.45%, but the internal rate of return says it's going to actually give us 5.36%. And that, remember the price to yield? That's going to be on the exam. So you'll see the pre-final exam. Now, what if we want to buy a duplex? This internal rate of return, net present value, these calculations, you already know, dear students, no matter what kind of investment it is, you can put out the cash flow, put out the money you have to pay for the investment, and then watch the cash flows come in, and then come up with some kind of rate of return I'm going to get over 3, 10, 50 years or so. So let's say we bought a duplex for $500,000 in cash in Chula Vista. Now, I was just looking around, and it seems like they've jumped again, because just, 6 months ago, you could get a duplex for about $500,000 in Chula Vista, not the Tony area, but the working class areas, and now they all seem to be above $500,000. So let's say $500,000 cash. But do people usually put down $500,000 cash? No. Let's come back to that in a minute. Now let's assume we get say $1,900 for one of the units and $1,600 per month for another unit, times 12. So if that happens, if we get that and we have that grow by 2% a year, even though rental units have been growing faster than that, let's say they grow, and do that for 30 years. And at the end of 30 years, we'll say it's worth $1 million, probably worth more, I don't know. But if we do that, if we come up with $500,000 in cash, get the rents that we think we're going to get, and then able to sell it for $1 million after 30 years, then the internal rate of return is 10.49%, which is pretty darn good, right? That's pretty darn good if you can get 10%. And it's telling us that the net present value, that $500,000 that we're paying, is actually worth $525,000. We're actually getting an extra $25,000 out of that today. But is it likely that people are going to come up with $500,000 cash to buy a duplex? No. Investors want to use leverage. They're going to come up with, say, 25% of that. I'm actually going to have to come up with a little bit more, but let's just say 25% to make it easy. Now it looks really attractive, right? Oh my goodness, 35, no, what are we forgetting? Right, we have to pay the mortgage. We don't get to keep all the rent. So what would the mortgage be on a say $375,000, right? Yeah, $375. And I'm gonna guess it's gonna be like I'm just gonna guess here. $375 times what is that? Like 4.775. Yeah, let's say $2,000. So we have to subtract. Well, and then we have to subtract not only the rent, the mortgage. We also have to subtract property taxes, which should be about $6,000. So $2,000 for the mortgage, $6,000 per year divided by 12 is the property taxes, and let's do another $200 a month for utilities and all that other good stuff. And so now it's a lot. Wait a minute. And we have to multiply that times 12. Oops. Minus. Let's add those. This is add. And then multiply that whole thing times 12. Yeah. So now we get a lot less. And so now it's saying, uh-oh, because of all the money we have to pay the bank. And the bank, they're really the owners of your property. The bank, isn't it nice of you? Our internal rate of return is not quite 10%. Still pretty good, right? Still pretty good, but it's not quite what we thought it was going to be because we have to pay the bank, right? The bank gets to enjoy our profits also. And then we can use anything, dear students. Say you get into the wonderful world of finance and you're looking at a company that's going to build a nuclear reactor or a bridge or something huge, just get a bunch of more zeros in front of it. So it's going to cost us $2.5 billion for the nuclear reactor. And we're going to get about $250 million in electricity over the next 30, 40 years. And then at the end of the 40 years, we've got to spend $1 billion to decommission the reactor. Well, it turns out that billion, $2.5 billion that we created is going to give us about 10% rate of return on our investment. We have to remember that most utilities don't come up with the $2 billion. They have to borrow the money, so we have to throw that into the mix. But you see now, whenever you look at any type of investment, something that throws off cash and is worth something at the end, or maybe you have to pay something at the end to get rid of it, you can model that investment in terms of its internal rate of return and its present value. So if I completely confused you, my apologies. I am sorry. That wasn't meant to be. What I hoped to do was to show you that by taking this one class, you now can look at any investment. You have to do a whole lot more research before you make any kind of decision. You can look at pretty much any investment and say, you know, this is something I'm interested in. This is something I might want to learn more about and maybe even invest in. And so I'll stick around for another hour, folks. Any questions? Oh, because this is office hour. But we've come to our last presentation, face-to-face session, and I want to thank you immensely. You do not know how proud and happy and honored I am to have been your instructor for this class. This is my most joyful thing in life. Is well, one of the most, you know, my professional life, I should say, my personal life, my wife, but my professional life is to help folks, especially younger folks, because they have time on their side, learn how to create wealth. And don't worry about me, because I've been doing this a whole lot. I had some great teachers, mentors 37 years ago now. And so I don't have to work anymore, thanks to the stock market, thanks to good investments, and real estate also. So I'm fine, but I know I'm going to miss teaching immensely. And I'll get involved somehow. I'm not sure, maybe not at Southwestern, but somehow. And you know, you can always get in touch with me via wonderprofessor.com. I can talk about this a lot longer than most any reasonable person would ever want to listen, so ask me any questions. And I wish you all the best of luck and success. What really amazes me is that we're giving this information to people in the South Bay, where it's often, you know, considered not the most desirable place, you know, below Interstate 8 is not very desirable by the border, certainly not by the border, whereas I think it's the most coolest thing in the world, because in our culture, money is power, wealth is power, and we want to give you the power. We want 30 years from now, the minorities are going to be in charge, the women are going to be in charge, and I'm really, really happy about that. I'm really, really, really excited about that. Okay? Whatever you do in life, dear students, don't give up, never give up. We want you to be the best investors the world has ever seen. We want to hear great stories about how you're succeeding. Oh, my apologies, they're doing some cutting here. So any last questions, any thoughts? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Okay, I'm getting emotional here. My apologies. So I'm going to stop the presentation, stop the recording, and I'll stick around. So let's click this.